to another episode of Spilling the Tea. I'm Liz.
And I'm Whitney.
And we are here ready to record. We are pretty excited for this episode. But yeah, Whitney just walked on in the front door. We've decided to just start hitting record the second we come across each other because it's entertaining.
It'll most likely be me complaining or talking bad about myself.
I mean, self-deprecation is our love language.
We got Billy in the studio today, and she's eating some Doritos, and the crunch is just so satisfying. No, I mean, that's serious. I'm like, girl, I want some.
You can have some after this if you want. Hopefully the mic does not pick it up, but
if it does, ASMR.
It does, it's just bills, dude.
Two for one.
So how was your day? Did you get to do your meal prep, do all the things?
So I decided to follow the Lord's lead and okay. I took a rest this morning, but then because I want to go to Aldi, it makes sense because White House doesn't have one, but I'm in the Hendersonville area now. So I'll go after this, go to Aldi, then go home and meal prep. So
I think I have complained about it before, but the Aldi intersection sucks.
It really
so
does
bad.
Suck.
That's why I just hate going Aldi. I love Aldi. Mm-hmm. But I hate going to that one because it sucks.
I may end up doing a two because I really just want to go to Kroger. I love Krogering. Mm-hmm. But Aldi, I feel like there's some things that I could get for cheaper. Mm-hmm. But I did my map of my meal prep this morning. I had to figure out how much I had to spend plus how many calories I had plus my protein. Mm-hmm. And I think I got it lined up. It's a lot of connecting the dots.
Have you ever tried putting it in ChatGPT? Okay, that's pretty genius. I've done it one time. I really should utilize it more. But you should put in your calories that you're trying to do, meal prep, all that. It'll give you an entire grocery list. You have to say which store it's for. Hmm. And it'll give you an entire price point.
Because I spent a good hour doing that this morning. So
you could have used this.
I always forget about AI.
You could have used this tip last night on our 4-hour trip.
Yeah.
Last night, Whitney and I met up with Cornbread Williams.
Oh, the legend.
The legend. And we watched Amber Autry.
She was hilarious.
So funny. And I was telling Whit, sometimes I see comedians and, you know, their clips are the funniest part of their show. Mm-hmm. But Amber really carried it through the whole time. She is a hoot.
She really is good at feeding off the crowd, even if the crowd is kind of lackluster, which was our experience last night. But no, mm-hmm. she definitely could keep, she kept up the energy. I had no complaints with her.
Yeah, no complaints at all. She does not wear a bra.
She does not.
And I'm so impressed by it because she's got big boobs, but they do not sag like mine. And I'm like, how?
So, which, you know, I've had a job done. Mine are kind of that way, but mine would be all nip. So, I don't feel like it would look as good. Like, she looked fine.
Yeah, she had no nip. I wonder if she wears covers or if she was just warm.
I don't know. But she was hilarious.
Well, even though we got home at midnight, I did wake up. Well, we went to the 11 a.m. service, but church was very good
today. Oh, my gosh. It was so good.
It was very good.
Every time he speaks, I feel like he's talking to me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I don't know. It's like, how does this man always keep talking about things I need to hear?
But yeah.
No.
I definitely felt close to it. I've never really shared it on here. I'm happy to do that today. But I feel especially close to the sermon today because he was talking about you know, Christians, we're never really possessed by demons, but we see the interactions, especially people in recovery. And I'm proud to say I'm 6 years recovered. Woo! I'm 6 years sober from prescription medicine, I should say, painkillers, opioids, all that.
Congrats.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then you just had your baptism. Have we had a or recording since?
No.
Liz got baptized.
That's right. Ooh, I feel
she
the
went
Holy
down
Spirit.
With the old woman. I love that Kenny Chesney song, but.
Yes, I did.
No, it was a beautiful, beautiful moment to watch you get dunked in
thanks,
water.
Dude. Thank you, dude. No, it feels good. I've shared it with Whitney, Jeff, my parents, and it just was the bow tie on my recovery chapter. Mm-hmm. We are now entered into the healed chapter with our Jillian Michaels body revolution and trying to run up a mountain.
So we are both, it'll be crazy how much we've changed this past year to see next year. So
I'm so proud of us though.
I know.
Because really, you and I embark on new missions. And in 2-3 weeks for both of us, we're like, yeah, we tapped out of that. We gave up on that
ADHD.
Literally. And so, yeah, we're doing great. I'm proud of us. So
I know it.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and dive into our episode. We're pretty pumped about this one. Recently, Netflix dropped the newest season of Monster. Is it Monster or Monsters?
I think it's Monster, but I think when it was about the two boys and the Mendez, it was Monsters, maybe? Okay.
Makes sense. So this season is about Ed Gein. And, you know, Whit and I pride ourselves on being some true crime junkies, but I had never really heard of Ed Gein personally. Had you?
I had just, I listened to another show called Murder in America, and they go in paranormally and see if there's evil spirits where these people have been, and they mentioned him there. So
fascinating.
Very little bit, but.
Okay, well. Yeah. Ed Gein, also known as the Butcher of Plainfield, was in Wisconsin around the late 30s, 40s, into the early 50s. He was known for doing some horrendous things, including killing two women and exhuming. Do you call it exhuming bodies when you like dig up? Okay. Exhuming bodies. Now, we're going to break down some of the facts and the fiction of the Netflix series.
Okay.
Mainly because we all know, if you don't know, you're kidding yourself, but we all know that Hollywood loves to take liberties to make a story juicier. I don't feel like they needed to do much to make this story juicier. It's already pretty disgusting as it is, but here we go. So, in the show, Ed Gein was dating Adeline Watkins. It shows that they were engaged, that they had been dating for quite some time. Now, what's interesting is it is a fact that they did date. However, Watkins did one interview right after Gein was arrested, and she admitted to almost marrying Gein, that they had been dating on and off for 20 years. They had known each other for a very long time. And then about 2 weeks, that's Billy with the chimes in the background. Hey.
Miss ma'am. Quiet on the set. Quiet on the set.
About 2 weeks after that initial interview, she then recanted all her statements and said, we were never really dating.
Yeah.
Right.
I find it weird. I find that one, the first thing she said was probably true, but then she was getting backlash for it, and she was like, she walked it back.
Yeah. Maybe she was the first person to get canceled.
Yeah.
She started it. Fiction. Ed Gein did not kill Evelyn Hartley, the babysitter. Now, Evelyn did go missing. She was watching a 20-month-year-old kid, which I hate when people do that. That's a year and a half, okay? but a year-old baby, she went missing around the middle of this crime spree of Ed Gein. So all of the historians from the show found this case and knew that they were in the same town. So they assumed that Gein was. There's just no proof of that. And so that's why they added it into the show. There is actually no proof that he ever killed her or stalked her when she got her babysitting job.
Wow.
I'm going to crack this open.
Okay, while you're doing that, I need to say, whoever the casting director for this show is, if there's ever a movie about me, let them cast it, because they definitely gave everybody an up. The casting was like, definitely gave some grace to people. We had Addison Rae as the babysitter, and then the girl, what's the girlfriend's name?
Adeline Watkins. Yeah.
Have you seen the real picture of her compared to the actress?
No.
Yeah, they definitely
take a sip on that one. Took some Hollywood liberties with that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let us go into Ed Gein himself. My hall pass, Charlie Hunnam.
Even in that squeaky, Mom, what can we do?
Yeah, his very high-pitched voice, which, like, Charlie has a very deep, sexy voice, naturally. So I wonder how much that hurts his. Yeah, he's British, which.
I didn't know that.
You're 100 times hotter automatically to an American girl if you have any accent of any kind.
Oh, he's British?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Robert Irwin, hot, cutie. He speaks and you're like, hottie, hottie, hottie. But yeah, if you are just now being introduced to Charlie Hunnam, please go back and watch Sons of Anarchy, King Arthur, anything like that.
Ooh, King wait. Arthur, mm-hmm. What's this?
Well, it was a movie he was in. Kind of bombed.
Was it with Timothy
Chalamet?
Shyamalama Ding Dong?
I don't know. I've actually never seen it.
Okay. I did watch it. It sounds like that. But okay. I love anything about a king, a princess, a court.
Well, yeah, there you so go. We need to watch it. Movie night. So anyway, going off about their looks, but yes, I did not know it was Addison Rae. Whitney let me know that last night when Diet Pepsi, came on. So very interesting, but that is a false thing within the show. Another fact, Billy with her percussion over there is killing us, but maybe y'all can hear
We need Ed Gein to babysit. The fact that he was a babysitter was so crazy.
Dude, he was just trying to prove to Adeline that he could be a good dad. It is possible. Now, I feel like I'm gonna spoil a lot of things because you have not finished the series.
I know the full story, I feel like, just from listening to crime shows, but I don't know. I basically know what's going to happen, I think.
Okay, so there's a scene where he is at a neighbor's house, and he's giving them some venison, okay, mm-hmm. which is deer meat, obviously. But Ed was not a deer hunter. So it is very possible, and people of the town suspected that it was true after, you know, they connected the dots, that it was possible he was giving neighbors meat from corpses.
Oh my God.
Wouldn't it smell rotten though?
I have more to say about this after we talk, but like,
go ahead.
Okay. So y'all know, if you've listened the Whitney and Liz lore, you know I do not like eating at buffets or potlucks. There is another story about a woman who killed a bunch of men. Every man that she killed, she got a butterfly tattoo. Well, her neighbors had a bar. They invited her over. She invited them over for a barbecue one time, and they said the meat was kind of weird. It was kind of like, it was like meat they'd never tried before, and uh-huh. they said that it was exotic. But they found out that he had killed all these men. They think it was men. That is another reason I will not eat a potluck. But anyway, it just reminded me of that.
Yeah, I can appreciate a potluck if it's people I know.
Yeah,
if I've been in your house before, if I'll know to eat your dish or not. I'm just put it that way.
I will eat like if Liz. I've been at Liz's for supper many a time, and I've ate. But yeah. Like my coworkers know.
Mm-mm. You just don't know, dude. Yeah, nasty. Okay, so that's another fact. He may have been giving people dead meat.
Have you had venison before?
Only a couple times, and it's really only because my dad made me eat it because I was such a picky eater as a kid.
Yeah.
Part of my trauma is that my dad made me explore different foods.
Well, I learned yesterday that Liz does not eat meat off the bone, so she's not had a hot wing, which is like, I nearly fell out of the car.
You did. The way you looked at me, that's I had four
heads. That's a main food group for me is a hot wing.
Listen, it is just so nasty and carnivorous. And there is a scene from American Horror Story, Roanoke, where Lady Gaga is literally eating a body or something, or like a deer or something. And she looks up, and the way she looks, I'm like, that's literally how I feel when I eat meat from that's a bone. Me. It's disgusting. So, yeah, I told Whit I would try a bone, but she's got to cut the meat off for me like a kindergartner. I don't care. No shame. Some more fiction. Gein did not chase people with a chainsaw. The director of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which, by the way, let me back up. Ed Gein was the muse, I guess, for different movies. Psycho, Norman Bates, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and
Silence of the Lambs, Buffalo Bill.
Silence of the Lambs. So the director of Texas Chainsaw Massacre took that liberty. The show does show this. He was holiday shopping, got so sick and tired of different holiday shoppers in his way, can relate, that he envisioned himself taking the chainsaw from the display and cutting everybody up. So while he was writing this movie, inspired by Ed Gein, his own intrusive thoughts are what drove the inspiration to
one.
Yeah, to chase people with it.
That's funny. It's not funny.
I think it is.
I was like, it's not funny.
Another falsity, never committed necrophilia.
Oh.
Ed Gein went on record saying he never had sex with a dead body. And it's because he was so sensitive to smells, which I find so fascinating, because if you're gonna dig up dead bodies, they're gonna stink. Okay. If you're gonna kill people, they're gonna stink. So he was already surrounded by a smell, but the smell kept him from
doing, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. So,
the writers really said, screw that. We're going to do it anyway.
Well, I think that it's such a good point to put in there, because there's so many people that did, like, so many serial killers do have that side of the necrophilia.
Well, Ted Bundy did.
Ted Bundy did?
Yes. They show it in the show. Well, they show it in the show. My God. You've got to be quiet, dude. She's killing me. She's going, you know what's so funny is she's so quiet, like a little mouse in the morning.
Uh-huh.
But when you ask her to be quiet, we are the loudest dinosaur on the planet. It's so funny. So yeah, very fascinating that the writers were like, we're going to add this in. And there is definitely a pretty graphic scene of him performing that act. So if you can't handle that, don't watch the series.
Mm.
Another falsity is he never helped catch Ted Bundy like he believed he did. This, at the end of the series, he gets diagnosed with schizophrenia. And it is how, honestly, I find schizophrenia so interesting, because it splits your brain in half, essentially. So you're doing things, but you don't know that you did them.
Yeah.
So he fully believed that he helped catch Ted Bundy by Ted writing in letters to another prisoner who idolized him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's like, I'm Ted, I'm writing you letters, but you idolized Jeff so much, which would be Ed, and you would write Jeff letters.
Oh.
Okay, so he, like, helped catch Ted Bundy by these different letters.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you experienced a schizophrenic person in life?
No, I don't think I have.
I have. So we had a customer at Kmart. He came by multiple times a day. Because there was an assisted living, huge build. It's like the tallest building in Owensboro. That was right beside Kmart. He would come by and he'd have a quarter, and he would need to switch out the quarter every day. But he would talk to himself the whole time he did it. And then he'd look at your chest and go, tits or something. But anyway, we always wondered about this guy. I talked to him. I can't remember his name. I think it was Ryan or something like that, but he was very clean cut, tucked in his shirt, wore a belt, was just like khakis, tennis shoes, a jacket, like, and his hair was always swept over. But somehow I got the backstory on him. He had witnessed his mom jump off the roof of their house.
Oh my goodness.
And I don't know if that's what triggered it, but I was like, I saw him so differently after that. But yeah, it's very interesting.
That's crazy. That's yeah, I don't think I've ever experienced a schizophrenic. I don't know.
Schizophrenic.
Thank you. Words are hard. So yeah, he fully believed he helped catch Ted Bundy. One thing that is fact, in the very last episode, you see a group of kids, later in life, pull out Ed Gein's tombstone, like to essentially defile it. I mean, is that right? Or destroy it? It is a fact that a bunch of people did steal his tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I read somewhere that people were like chipping off a little piece, like they just want a chip of it. I'm like,
why? What?
That's like me going down there to the Opry shop and buying a piece of wood that says it was part of the freaking.
Oh, can we go into that real quick?
Such a good segue.
Whit, Billy, and I went to the Grand Ole Opry just to literally be within the same airspace as Sabrina Carpenter. She made her Opry debut on October 7th.
We had a little Chili's. I think we mentioned it on the last recording. We're like, we're going to go get some Chili's. Oh my God, here. Yeah, we did it.
We had a little girl date. While we were in the Opry shop trying to see if they had a cool Sabrina Carpenter poster, spoiler alert, they didn't. They are selling squares about the size of a dinner plate of what they claim to be the Ryman stage. Okay, I'm using air quotes because who knows if it's really the Ryman stage or not. Please share with the audience what the price tag is.
Am I remembering correctly that it was $1,000?
That's right. $1,000.
And I will say, I am a huge Opry historian. I have so many things. Liz and Jeff just gave me a bunch of Opry books. Like, if you have something Opry, give it to me. You couldn't hand me that for free. What am I going to do with a framed piece of wood?
Dude, it's so outrageous. And honestly, there was only like two left.
Yeah.
In that whole thing. Now, I don't know how many they had to begin with, but the amount of coin, we've said it before, that tourists would drop in the Opry shop alone. Nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I think the highest amount I ever had was probably 800 something. And I'm like, broski. Yeah. For some t-shirts and shot glasses, like, my flabbers be gasted, Meryl.
I think the cheapest thing you could get was a pick, and it was about $1. Or was no, it? How much was it?
I think it was like 50 cents.
50 cents. Oh, and they've probably raised it. I didn't look at the pick prices.
I don't know. Nuts. But anyway, so a little segue from there. But I just can't believe they're selling freaking squares of wood for $1,000, dude. I'm like, times are hard enough. Y'all are out here robbing people.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last fact fiction thing I have is a fictional one. It is not clear if he was actually inspired by Ilsa Koch, okay? Ilsa Koch, we're about to go into her, and it's also unlikely that he learned about her from Adeline Watkins. So in the series, Adeline and Ed are in a soda shop, essentially. Adeline shows him a comic book of The Bitch of Buchenwald, which is Ilsa Koch. That was her nickname. And she performed heinous acts, which I'm about to go into her whole story, but it's not really true that he definitely didn't have the comic book. Nowhere is it really written down that he drew inspiration from her. Now, they do say all of the things that she did made international headlines when she was in court, and it was during the same time period, so it's not impossible that he never saw those newspapers and like be interested in that.
Yeah.
Now another article that I read said that the showrunner historians or, you know, researchers, they did find some notes that Ed had written down, like the lampshade and things like that. So who knows, but they're classifying that as fiction because he never had the comic book or anything like that.
Okay. I never like to say I hope somebody's in H-E double hockey sticks, but I hope that lady is.
She definitely is. She definitely is. So, Ilsa Koch, right? Interesting name. It's K-O-C-H. It's a German name. Germans have some seriously interesting names. My maiden name is Fletcher. It came from the German last name Fletcher.
Oh, I love this little history lesson.
Yeah. So we are German. In high school, I had a panic attack and I went home crying and I was like, people think I'm related to Hitler. My dad thought I was so dumb and he's like, you can ignore them. I am not. But yeah, so we are German, but yeah, Fletcher. That's why my dad has a bunch of like Fletcher stuff in his office. But so anyway, Ilsa Koch, known as the Bitch of Buchenwald. Buchenwald was a concentration camp. A lot of people also called her the Witch of Buchenwald for a little PG version.
Mm-hmm.
She was the wife of Karl Otto Koch, which was the commander of Buchenwald concentration camp. Her name became synonymous with cruelty after reports emerged that she would choose prisoners with distinctive tattoos to be killed so she could use their skins to make lampshades and other keepsakes.
Golly.
It is in history that she is probably the first person to ever create a skin lampshade. In the series, it shows that Ed is like so inspired by this, so he creates the seat of chairs with stretched skin. He also does the lampshade and keeps different artifacts and stuff. So now, in 1947, Ilsa stood trial before a U.S. military court in Dachau, which is another concentration camp in Bavaria, which is South Germany. Dachau was one of the first concentration camps built and longest running one. It opened in March 22nd, 1933 initially. They like made it to house prisoners of war, essentially, like anybody that didn't agree with the Nazi way of the Nazi mindset, I should say. And then they kept prisoners there. So she stood in court where testimonies captured international headlines, which is why I'm saying, you know, I think Ed probably saw those headlines. Prosecutors could not prove that she was guilty, however. So they couldn't catch her on those crimes, but she was still convicted because she was a part of the common design. Right? Like the mindset. She was a wife of a commander, all that. So she was sentenced to life. But, which is crazy because she was a good prisoner, quote unquote, she was released in 49.
Okay. That's still a problem today. People getting out on stuff and because they're a good. Okay. Well, that's already been scratched. Yeah. That's already off the table.
Of course she's a good prisoner. There's nobody in there for her to hurt. That was her whole crime. Now,
That just makes me so mad.
What's crazy is that she was released on October 17th, 1949. Today is October 17th as we record this. The same day, the Germans then arrested her. So essentially, we released her, quote unquote, and handed her off to the Germans, who then did sentence her to life for real because of all the things that she did to German civilians. Okay, because Jews were still German civilians, right?
I'm like, this is fascinating to me.
Yeah. Jews were over there. They also took, I mean, anybody that was a German, you hid a Jewish person, your ass is now taken by the Nazis, okay? So if I hide a Jew, then they're going to take me, right? Golly. Which, honestly, in this day and age, I would still do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would absolutely hide my friends. So they took her. They arrested her the same day. And then she later unalived herself, I think, in the 50s. She hung herself. She did have two sons. And Billy's over here doing pig stamps. So, yeah, pretty crazy. Ilse Cox, real person. I actually love that they included her story because I think that it's an interesting point. The person playing her, Vicky something, I'll look it up, she's actually Jewish.
Oh, wow.
And her great-grandfather or grandfather was a Holocaust survivor, and she felt very weird, like, taking this role. But she did an interview where she said she was talking to Ryan and she felt it was very important to keep this story alive for people to see what was really going on.
Yeah.
And I just think that's so powerful. She gets to like kind of take that back.
Yeah.
And be,
I have chills over that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought this was a great season.
Yeah, I was glad that they included it because I was such, like, my favorite class other than choir and my art, and, like, all my art classes, choir, art, and drama and all that, I loved history class. And I was very into the time frame of, like, the Nazis and all that, and I never heard about her. Mm-hmm. Like, I've read Night from Eli Wiesel. I've seen Schindler's List.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard about this. And it was, like, it's horrible, but it just adds to, and I've also been, we went on our senior trip to Washington, D.C., went to the Holocaust Museum. I don't remember.
I don't either.
And maybe I did. And it was like we were pushed through there so quickly and there's so much to see, so maybe there was something about, I don't know if they would tell about that in that.
I have also been to the museum, and I don't remember seeing her story at all either. I'm very interested to go back to the museum because...
Ooh, we should. We both like history and stuff. We should go.
My sister lives up there. We should go. Okay. To a little D.C. trip in the spring or something.
That'd be fun. The... this is so unrelated, but I don't know if they were the real red slippers, but I got to go to the...
Yes.
Whatever, the hall, the mall.
The National Mall. The American History Museum.
Yes, and I got to see, there were some kind of slippers there. I don't know if they were the legit ones.
They are.
Okay.
They are.
I was so mesmerized, but yeah, I want to go back for sure.
I always think of you when I see the ruby red slippers.
Oh, yeah.
Because last time we were up there, we did the Natural History Museum for Bills, and then we did do the... American History Museum. And
yeah, I need to redeem Washington, D.C. for myself because I went on a school trip and our teacher was like barking orders. My stomach was hurting. It was not a great time, but...
Dude, we will do it. We can literally do one museum a day because it is a freaking lot to do in one day. And I also don't want to kill you. But we can absolutely do it. It would be so fun.
I think it's Arlington. Mm-hmm. That was such a moving... experience. And then what else? I don't know. I really do like history. So
Arlington Cemetery. Also in Arlington are the steps that were filmed in The Exorcist, which is creepy to go by. If you look up on on Apple Maps Exorcist stairs, it'll take you right to it.
Oh, I just remembered. Julia Childs, they made like a replica of her kitchen in the museum. I remember that.
Okay. I don't remember saying that. But yeah, if you guys are interested in true crime or any sort of horror, I mean, it's perfect timing that they put it out in October.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. The first season was Jeffrey Dahmer, incredible, by Evan Peters. It's a lot. It is a lot. The Mendez brothers, very fascinating, especially because this year they were up for parole. They did not get it.
Which is bull.
Do you think?
I haven't watched that season, just the story. I feel like their dad was a pedophile and their mom covered it up. And what are you going to do? It's just like the Gypsy Rose thing. Like,
here's the thing. In the season, it shows Eric. What's the other brother? It wasn't Eric. It was the other brother. Anyway, he makes a very moving testimony. And it later came out that he had a pen pal who was a journalist, and he didn't know she was a journalist. And so he would confess to her all these things and that he was really working on convincing a jury and that he made up a lot of what was said on the stand. Mm-hmm. And she wrote about it. She wrote a whole freaking book and, like, basically put the recordings out there. And when I was looking at the fact and fiction of that season, it is true that he... was talking to her about that kind of stuff.
So it's like made up the pedophile stuff?
I think the dad probably did do stuff, but I think how far he went, I think some of it was fabricated.
I find it interesting. The dad worked in the music industry.
Really?
Crazy. Yeah, he was like a big wig in the music industry.
There's a lot of crazies in the music industry.
Don't I know it? Yeah, but... No, so I'm excited. I love this episode, learning about this. But I just wanted to mention, when you said that you were going to do a deep dive on Ed Gein, I was just like here for it. Mm-hmm. Because you have such a historian. You need to be on like the National History Channel or whatever it's called. I've heard the story of Ed Gein, but it kind of brought it up while watching this documentary about like TBI, so traumatic brain injuries.
Mm-hmm.
There have been so many murderers that have history in their past of being either hit in the head as a child or they had a car accident. And Ed Gein was hit so hard by his mom in the ear. She would hit him in the ear so much, or she would hit him in the head so much that his ears would ring. And while I don't think it's the like sole contributor of where he ended up, I think that plus his mom being an absolute psychopath, and then being very, they were out on a farm that had nobody surrounding them. Mm-hmm. Very desolate. It's like, there's all these factors. It's like, well, why wouldn't he turn out this way? I mean, his brother didn't, but maybe he was just less sensitive. Maybe Ed took things harder. I don't know, but.
I do want to say, you mentioned his brother. There's no proof that he killed his brother.
Oh, yeah.
And that's interesting.
But I do think he did it.
I mean, he did a lot of crazy stuff.
Because
probably.
I think he led them to... I don't know. Maybe it was just a freak accident, but Ed like led him to the thing. And then there was like, he had an injury on his head, but it was because of a brush fire or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know.
That's the thing. When we were watching that episode, I'm like, did they really not, like, do deep dive autopsies on bodies back then? Because they didn't even flip him over. They couldn't see the gash on the back mm-hmm. of his head, right?
Probably not.
And I was talking to Jeff about that. I'm like, they didn't even flip the bro over? Like, that's nuts. But can you go into, you told me last night, and I find it so fascinating, why he had a higher pitched voice and also why Charlie decided to act with that?
Yeah, so like the timbre of his voice was very similar, not very similar, but there's like, if you listen, because there's like files or there's still audio of the real Ed Gein speaking, and you can see the similarities between him and Charlie. Mm-hmm. But Charlie took an like exaggerated like way of doing it, and he explained it was because he put his mind into Ed Gein and how he was raised. He was raised by a mom who constantly told him every single day that she hated him because he wasn't the daughter that she wanted, even though she said daughters were sin and the yeah. devil. I don't understand. And so if you were in that time frame, or if you were in that mindset of always feeling like you were never enough and that you should be a girl, mm-hmm. wouldn't you take on a feminine,
mm-hmm. to like a please
more,
his mother.
A more feminine, pitch, I guess. And mm-hmm. so I thought that was really smart of Charlie to do that for yeah. with the character. But
I really love that, you know, Charlie did this. I love his comeback. That's what I'm calling it, because oh, yeah. he kind of went away after King Arthur bombed so badly. And he says that himself. But I've watched a lot of his interviews on why he took this role, why this season in particular is fascinating. And I completely agree with what he says. And that is, this season kind of changes why this series is important, or really like Ed's story, why his story is important. And it's because he's the inspiration for all these crazy movies, right? Before these movies came out, before Psycho came out, the only monsters you saw on screen were vampires. Mm-hmm. The Creature from the Blue Lagoon or Black Lagoon. Werewolves, you know, just classic Hollywood
folklore kind of stuff.
Yeah. And then because of his story inspired humans doing these heinous acts and mm-hmm. people watching it on screen. So who's the real monster here, right? Ed Gein, who has a traumatic brain injury, still did awful things, not mm-hmm. excusing that. You can't help but kind of feel a little bad for him towards the end of the series. Charlie completely deserves an Emmy for his performance. But is he really the monster, or are we the monsters? We've become so desensitized to violence and horror and all these disgusting things. Mm-hmm. And we're the people creating the crimes. We're the ones doing it now. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at our world today.
Yeah.
It's riddled. So it's a very interesting viewpoint. I think Charlie speaks very eloquently and beautifully on the topic. And so yeah. I really like his interviews.
I think I mentioned this yesterday when we were driving down to Alabama. It's like, I don't feel bad for Ed Gein, obviously because of the horrific crimes he did. I feel bad for the soul and the potential person he could have been.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the deck was stacked against him, and he only could... like live with whatever was taught to him or however his brain was processing it. He had nobody there. His dad was an alcoholic who ended up dying young. It's like, I don't know. I just, yeah.
That's a much better way of putting it.
And then what was I going to say? I just, the whole traumatic brain injury thing, I bring that up because it's so prevalent even today. Like football players, there's so many football players that have been hit in the head so many times over and over and over again. They go in to either kill themselves or they kill somebody else. Mm-hmm. Hernandez.
Oh, yeah, Aaron.
Aaron Hernandez did it. And then, like, John Wayne Gacy had a head injury. Ted Bundy and, like, all these people. It's just so crazy. And then I think it goes into another thing that we need to work on is men's mental health.
100%.
And we have turned murderers and true crime into entertainment. It's mm-hmm. like a sector of entertainment now. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
we say that as two of the biggest fans of learning about these yeah. things. But I feel like we do it in a way where I'm not fascinated and enthralled and like entertained necessarily in that kind of way. I'm
interested.
Yeah, I'm fascinated that people can do this.
I'm interested in the why, and I think you kind of mentioned it yesterday, like you are very into psychology and that kind of stuff and digging into it. I more so, it's like, these are cautionary tales. And I try to keep in mind that the victims, by telling their story, can help them. Or if the more people know to look out for these signs, they can prevent it. People are so invested in talking about like the entertainment side of true crime, but like, we want more and more of this content. But what were the warning signs with these people that we missed out on? And how can we fix that? If you're a parent today and you are not doing very, like if you're a mom that's kind of putting a lot of pressure, or, you know, that's another thing, the traumatic brain injury, the abuse of animals, your mom is very like, puts a lot of pressure on you and stuff, or like has a weird relationship with you. There's a lot of murders that had that aspect. I don't know. I think parents today need to take a deep look of like how they're handling situations. If you notice red flags in your kids, then you definitely need to not just overlook it.
Yeah. This may be a whole different rabbit hole altogether, but while I think that is so incredibly important, and yes, men's mental health, it definitely matters. Men are so, it's just expected of them to be so strong and not have emotion and do this and that. That's not healthy, you know? But on the other side, I feel like there are people who are perfectly right in the head who claim mental health, and they get just completely let off the hook.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we need to do better at deciphering real and not. I don't know.
And so, I'm about to preach, y'all. Jesus wept, okay? So if he can, you can too.
That's
if you need
right.
to cry, go ahead, you know. So
that's your little Sunday lesson. but yeah, okay, good. I love this story. The next season is going to be on Lizzie Borden, so I can't wait to deep dive into that. I feel like we should do an episode before it comes out.
Yeah.
And then kind of like do like a fact and fiction one on that too. But
very interesting.
Okay, so our very first episode, you heard us being all hype about starting some new segments, and we have not.
We did it one time.
We have not done it since, but we're going to bring it back, okay? Whitney has kept me focused and said, we got to do it this time.
If so, I'm keeping you focused, we're in bad shape.
Okay, so let's start with reality.
Okay.
Okay. So for reality, I am bringing up Dancing with the Stars.
Ooh.
We are thriving this season. I didn't really watch it the last two seasons because honestly, it kind of got boring, but boy, was the celebrity list stacked this season.
The casting was on point.
It was. ABC folks, they went into a room, they said, we got to do shit different, and boy, did they. So, some of my favorite top contenders are Whitney from Mom Talk.
She's killing it.
Okay. Jen is not that good of a dancer.
Jen Affleck's not?
No.
Oh.
I mean, she's better than some, but I'm like, Whitney really is out here.
She does
she's
kill
a dancer.
It, but when I look at Jen Affleck in these skimpy outfits and like hanging all over another man, I'm like, I know her husband is not up for this.
Dude, and I gotta say, he's in the audience every week. I mean, he's being a golden retriever husband, but is it fake? Probably.
It's keeping a close eye.
Connor, Whitney's golden retriever husband, he's being for real. He's so sweet.
And even if that is a lavender marriage, who cares? Pop off.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. then we've got my boy, Robert Irwin.
Oh
my God. Listen, the Irwins, they're not American, but they're an all-American
family. They're the American sweethearts. I'm sorry.
They are the world's sweethearts. I do not know a more deserving family. They are the sweetest. Last week was dedication week, and he did a whole dedication dance to his mother, Terry. And Terry came out on the dance floor, and boy, the world wept. It was so precious. And God, they're just so freaking nice. And it's like genuine nice.
Yeah.
Right? They have never, ever, ever had a scandal. They just love the animals.
Yeah.
We've got a little soundtrack from Billy playing in the background. And perfect timing. So Definitely him. Another guy. Oh, Dylan Efron.
Oh, is he on there?
He is on this season.
I didn't know that.
The talent flows in that family, okay? You can tell it's like trying to teach a stick to dance, but boy, the stick is learning to dance, okay? Yeah. Plus, he's a little cutie. Love him.
He's just charming. Mm-hmm. And it's got to feel so vindicating. Like, I know he had his own career of, like, I think he did, like, documentaries and stuff before, but, like, being in the shadow of Zach for so long, and now he's got his own platform, like, really... It's awesome.
It is great. It's so great. And then we've got 90s sweetheart Topanga, Danielle Fishel. She did her dedication to Mr. Feeney. I can't believe it. He was on there. He's 98 years old. He looked confused as all get out. But boy, is he the cutest, sweetest man ever. Aww. So I'm really loving this season. One of the previous pro dancers, her name is Kim. Cannot for the life of me think her last name right now. She went on to marry her celebrity partner, who's from Shark Tank.
Oh, okay.
She was on there as a judge last week, and America has spoken. They want her to replace, who can I not stand? Inaba. Carrie Ann Inaba. Can't stand her.
So, like,
she's so annoying. She's so annoying.
Sing it, girl. Sing it. Sing it, girl. That was the cutest face. She should be Shirley Temple.
I tried to shush her, and she gave me the poutiest little face.
That's very sad. Well, I guess it's just how the world works. For people rooting for you to be taken off a show.
I know. That's gotta hurt. But she's so biased, dude. You can tell she clearly has favorites. The way she is scoring these dances does not make sense. It is clearly showing favoritism, and I'm sick of it. Mm. So
I really need to get into it. I have too much on my freaking content plate right now. I'm trying to keep up.
I have completely stopped watching Salt Lake, Real Housewives of Salt Lake.
I want to get back into it because they are absolutely crazy.
Dude, I keep seeing memes from this season, and I'm like, dude, we're missing the action. But I think I'm going to watch the first, like, three reunions. That's it, because it's just a recap.
Yeah.
Then I want to watch the full season of, like, the biggest tea that has happened on the show.
That is a good method here.
And then move forward. I think we need to just do that.
That freaking dinner that they had, the British, did you watch that?
No. I missed it.
I think it's episode 3 of season 1.
Okay.
It's so crazy. But did you see the Southern Charm trailer?
Yes, girl, I sure did. I don't know how I feel about it.
My man Craig, why is he in this drama with women?
I'm so over what is her face? Not Molly. I like Molly a lot. It's the other
Sally.
Oh my God. I'm so over
Sally. I feel like she's reaching for airtime so hard.
Bro, she's so thirsty for clout. I'm like, honey,
Yeah, because when did she show interest in Craig before?
Exactly. Now, did she just not out of respect for Paige? I don't know, but it's very weird.
It is. Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens though. November.
It's like Miranda Lambert. Unless he comes out and blatantly says something crazy that mm-hmm. I do not stand for, you cannot make me not, like, love Craig. And I'm sorry.
I know. You really do love your boy.
I do. My mom is the same way. And it's the same thing with Miranda Lambert. There's so many people like, I heard she's a bee. You can't make me not a fan of her. But I'm like that with Craig from Southern Charm. But I'm so excited. That is my favorite show. That's my favorite Bravo show.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I'm ready for it to come
so
back.
So good. But my reality is mm-hmm. I am a Survivor fan, but my mom started the season without me.
Betrayal. Rita.
But I caught it in the middle and of an episode, and my mom goes, that girl collects her blackheads. And I thought my mom was just being, like, shady and saying, like, she just collects a lot in her face. Mm-hmm. No, this woman collects her blackheads in a jar.
That's disgusting. For what reason?
I don't know. Why would you say that on national TV?
Dude, these people are weirder than hell.
She's like, you know what? I want to be remembered. I'm going to let everybody know that I collect my freaking dirt that collects in my pores.
Successfully done. You got it.
But the thing is, I can't remember her name. All I can remember is...
the blackhead jar girl. Yeah, she did it. Successful mission.
That is freaking disgusting.
Well, I turned on episode one. I fell asleep. Jeff came home the next day. He goes, since when did you get into Survivor?
Oh, just Boston Rob.
And I said, well, you know, Whitney watches it. I want to, like, be able to talk about it. And one of the Dancing with the Stars, they watch it religiously and post about it a lot. And I'm like, I need to get caught up with the times.
My mom did say, I was kind of watching it, and I kind of noticed, too, they are getting wimpy people this season. Why are we not getting people that make sense? Why are there not buff people? Like, used to be there was a good mixture. There was, like, these nerdy people, and then they would be covered by the more muscular people, but then their smarts would kind of... No, it's all nerds.
They want to see them fail. I am convinced. There's only one strong dude. He used to be a Chippendale. Forgot what his name is, but...
My mom said so far there's been nobody that's kind of like you're rooting for. She hasn't, you know how you get attached to people on a show? She hasn't got attached to anybody yet. And it, I don't know, they're not memorable except if you collect blackheads. But
that's disgusting.
What is our next segment? So that was reality. Do we have any jury duty news?
Jury duty. You know, I don't know what's going on in the crime world since freaking Brian, whatever the hell his name is.
Brian Koberger.
Yeah. Freaking psycho.
I will, mentioning Brian Koberger. So Brian Koberger's biggest, like, influence was BTK. And there is a new documentary about BTK that involves his daughter who has been, she has spoken out so much, which I think is... You know, it's sad for, like, children of these people because they take a lot of slack. But I think she's doing the right thing by being...
Yeah, dude, I don't know why in the hell anybody would give slack. You don't know what the hell your dad's doing. Yeah. You don't know.
But I definitely want to watch that. Listen, I love... You know it, we love documentaries. And I just can't get enough of documentaries.
Well, speaking to that, I am excited to watch The Perfect Neighbor. I've heard it's very sad, but Jeff has off tomorrow, so we're going to watch that.
I'm going to watch that tonight while I cook.
So, well, let me know how it is.
Take notes. I'll take notes.
Okay.
We'll talk about it. We're not recording next week, so it's okay.
We'll talk about it anyway. We'll compare our notes. So that's really all. I mean, we don't really have any current cases. Am I insane? Am I missing out? Is P. Diddy's done?
What is it?
P. Diddy is done.
P. Diddy is done.
It's been done for a minute.
I did want to say I saw a news article that said McDonald's employee shoots man in the neck after complaints about wait time in the drive-thru.
Gosh.
I don't know who said this, but in the article it says it was just a McMess. But I have a feeling I know who said it because this happened in Polk County in Florida. And if you know, Polk County Sheriff is Grady Judd. Do you know who this is? He is... If I look him up.
I gotta write that down. That's a good quote.
Grady Judd. Let's see.
Dude, these people running these cities.
This guy, he is the sheriff, and he always does the, like, press releases.
Oh, my God, he's so funny.
Yes, so I feel like he definitely said it was just a McMess.
He needs to be our... He's also a Silver Spoon.
Oh, yeah, our Silver Spoon and our... What is it? D-bag of the week.
Teabag of the week.
Teabag of the week.
Oh, yeah, dude. He's so funny. Okay. He's, you know how, like, nowadays you can never figure out if a video is AI or not? Mm-hmm. I mean, for the most part, I feel like we can. Like, our generation can. Oh, yeah. But there are some that are so freaking good. I'm like, is it? I don't know. Right. Some of those I have thought were AI, but knowing that it's just him and his whole vibe, I'm like, I respect it. I think it's hilarious.
So did you live near Polk County, Florida?
I have no clue.
Because this man works overtime. Truly. He has to, like, get the news, and he's got to come up with these little one-liners, because I'm like, he's just a goofball. I don't know.
Let's see. Where is Polk County? I'm trying to remember what the hell my county was. I can't remember for the life of me. I did live near Polk County. Oh, my God, that's so funny.
My favorite is this one where they did a drug seize for these drug traffickers, and he's wearing the person's chain, and he has their, like...
Shut up. Okay, look, I'll take a picture this for the partner post, but I lived in Spring Hill and this dot is Polk County. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you're really close. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, love him.
So that's our silver spoon of the week is Grady Judd.
Congratulations, Mr. Judd. You have won silver spoon on the Spill in the Tea podcast.
Okay. Oh, wait, we were going to do Diane Keaton silver spoon. Well, rest in peace.
We can have a few silver spoons. Yes.
Okay.
Diane Keaton, she recently passed. I can't believe it.
I know. I definitely need to watch my little Nancy Myers movie that she was in that I can never think of the title.
As good as it gets.
Yeah, with
Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson.
This is what I told Whitney. Like, it is so crazy. We are on the verge of losing most of the iconic actors and actresses in Hollywood. The people that we watched growing up, the people that our parents watched grow up, okay? So, like, Steve Martin, Martin Short, Meryl Streep. Dare I even say it? Dolly Parton.
That reminds me, yesterday I spoke into the existence of Dolly leaving us and Taco Bell being existent one day.
Dude,
being non-existent.
I wouldn't be able to handle a life without Taco Bell or Dolly Parton. I don't know what I'm going to do.
The way Liz's eyes about shot out of her sockets when I said,
in pure horror, mind you.
I was like, I will know an era has ended once Taco Bell is like goes out of business.
I said, you shut your mouth. Can't believe it.
This is the picture I'm using for the partner post.
Hell so. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. But like all of these iconic people, and now some of y'all may be listening to this and be like, okay, now listen, Martin Short's not that old. You're right, but
life's unexpected, though. Yeah,
I mean, freaking Ozzy Osbourne, bro. He just passed away. That's insane.
Complete legends.
These legend people. It's going to be such a sad time. I am not ready for the triple curse, where when one celebrity dies, three more.
Yeah.
Ozzy, Diane, who's next?
There was somebody from Kiss died yesterday.
What?
Yeah,
like you better not say Gene Simmons.
No, okay. It was like the bassist, I think.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Dude, see, that's what I'm saying. It's nuts.
I am having a hard time remembering who my D-bag of the week was.
Well, I'll tell you mine.
Was it somebody we met in person?
It was somebody we met in person last night.
Okay, that's my vote too.
Last night, you can stay here for this. Did you put lip gloss on, Billy? You look good, girl.
Put my Elsa one on.
You look good. You look good. So you can listen to this, too. Last night, Aunt Whitney and I got seated. So when we walked in, we were like, they said, how many in your party? And I said, we've got three. One's on her way. That's the infamous Morgan Cornbread Williams, okay? So they put us at a table for four, and they said, if a single person comes in, we're going to seat them at your table. I said, that's cool. We love a fourth person.
Knowing my history and my lore, I should have stopped it right there, but I digress.
This girl comes up, early 20s. She was nice enough, okay? And we tried to make her feel welcome because I know what it's like sitting with a group of strangers and, like, you know, you gotta just cut that tension with a knife and just get rid of it, okay? Yeah. So I did exactly that, and I tried to make her feel a part. That was the wrong move.
I think wrong move. I knew exactly when we started talking about the C word, because our generation, the C word's kind of like, ooh.
Yeah,
C-U-N-T. But she was using it very freely.
Yeah, she was like, I'm in a mood. And I was like, yeah.
What now?
Not us. We're here for a good time. We also should have known when she kept buying 2-for-1 beers, because she was 6 beers in by the time Amber got on stage. And it just, she wouldn't shut up, dude. I mean, she was like, she wasn't necessarily heckling, but she would not shut up. Now, if Whitney, Morgan, and I had a baby, it would be Amber Autry. And
this was a big moment.
We
were
prepared. And we were sitting, our table was in a freaking spotlight, literally. And we were prepared to get picked on, and we were going to give great responses where she could, like, feed off of that. Nope. Little 22 cut-off jeans cowboy boots.
Morgan Wallen stan.
She ruined it for us by mm-hmm. just being one of the most obnoxious people. You could tell Amber was avoiding our table, okay? And it was just like, damn, dude,
the worst part is that she yelled something. So Amber was talking to somebody across the room, mm-hmm. and then the girl sitting at our table goes, wait, what was the answer? Mm-hmm. And Amber's like, I'm getting there. Well, Amber thought it was Liz that yeah. said it. And
she looked
was
deep
like,
into my soul.
Oh, no. I wanted to just... You know that meme of Bart Simpson and he's kind of fading into the bush? Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted to do because I was like, I don't want Amber to think that I'm associated with this gal because I am not.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty bad. And so, like, she just wouldn't shut up. Then she started going in. Amber brought up, you know, the menstrual cycle. This girl just voluntold her whole menstrual cycle's history. And you could hear the crowd being like, oh, my God. And I literally, vocally, oh, my God. So, and in my soul, I was thinking, oh, my God. Now, the other part of the problem, they are also teabags of the week, is anybody she would call on, it was their first day on planet Earth. We could not get out a full sentence. We could not give Amber anything to feed off of.
If you are a fan of Amber Autry, you know her gimmick. Mm-hmm. She's going to feed off the crowd. She's going to ask a lot of questions, dig into your life. These people would give like one word answers, where it really left Amber just kind of like stunned. Like, and she still could. She still worked the crowd and everything, but it was so annoying. I could feel my anger boiling over. I'm like, I really wanted to shout. Spill it out already.
Literally, like, just today, Junior.
Amber asked this girl, have you ever been arrested? Have you ever dealt with the police? Oh, and she God. Go, and her and her friend, like, start whispering. They're cupping their mouth, whispering to each other. And it was like, Amber's like, okay. Like,
dude, and spoiler alert, this was their story. They were dressed up like Miley Cyrus for Halloween. They hit a pothole so hard their airbag exploded, and the cop passed them. That was their run-in with the law.
And then there was another story. One of them was naked.
And hiding from the cop.
But
nothing made sense.
But she wouldn't give all the details, so all we knew was she was naked and hiding. And it was like the weirdest thing. I'm just like...
Literally. And Amber goes, I don't have time for this. And she moves on. And I'm like, thank you. Because I swear to God, all four people that she picked on that night did not give anything, took at least 20 minutes from the show.
And you know what? At the beginning, I was like, I really hope she doesn't call me. But I was at that point begging because you know what? I'm an open book.
Yeah.
I was going to tell her anything she wanted to hear.
I'm ready. Okay. The person that said they worked in customer service, she's a freaking ghost hunter. Hey, hello. Those aren't customers. I'm like, you want a good customer service? Choose Whitney Merritt over
here. I was waving my arm like, I have the craziest customer service.
Because I was sitting right next to Whitney and she thought I'm the one that yelled. She was like, don't
yeah,
look
she
over
was
there,
avoiding our table, even though we had a beam of spotlight down on us.
Dude, we would have been perfect. We were right there. Oh, I was so
I'm
furious.
So tempted to Instagram message her and be like, listen, I was at the Huntsville show. That cuckoo ca-choo girl that was sent with us was not part of us. I'm so sorry. She was heckling so bad.
Yeah, I thought about it too. So please go for it. It'll make me feel a lot
better.
Oh,
this. So Amber's at the end of her show. She's done her part. She's been the little monkey jumping, doing what she needs to do as an entertainer. She's doing her admin work. Like, hey, I'm going to be here on this date. Mm-hmm. I also need to do a social media post. So we're going to do a picture and go around the room and all this stuff. She's trying to talk and end the show. Mm-hmm. And this girl that's sitting with us keeps going, I love you. I love you. I love you. And Amber goes, what? Or something along the lines. And she goes, I'm saying I love you. Say it back. Mm-hmm.
Dude, and Amber goes, okay, well, I already did, but sure, love you too.
She said, I actually said it first.
Oh, yeah, she did.
I was like, please.
And I'm like, this is so cringe. And you know what sucks is you brought this point up in the car. Everyone saw us take a picture with this girl because she was like, you guys are so nice. Will you take a picture on my Snapchat? And we were like, yeah, sure. So before the show, we did it. And I'm like, we are now freaking associated.
Yeah.
And I have never been so mortified.
Ugh.
I don't get secondhand embarrassment. I sure shit did
last
night.
Oh, I do.
I know you do. I do.
Billy's raising her hand.
Yes, ma'am, Billy.
I'm the queen. So we drove by a burnt car and, like, it had fire.
Ooh, that brings up a good point.
Here's segue queen. Segue queen.
Here's a little fun tea. So, you know how you like see things in movies, but you never see them in real life? Well, never in my life have I seen a car on fire. And we drove by the other day, and Billy and I full on witnessed a car on fire, like Hollywood fire.
Yeah, it's real.
Yeah.
Girl.
It was nuts. So anyway, that was a little bit of excitement last Thursday.
Billy, come here and give us your what you saw.
Yeah, give us your full account.
Give your eyewitness account.
We're going to get this interview.
Okay, come here. Come hither.
All right.
We have Billy Ann on the mic. So tell us what you saw about the car on fire.
Well, we drove by it, and it was really burnt. Like, it was a real fire.
Mm-hmm. What color was the fire?
Red.
Yeah? Was it? And what color was the smoke?
Gray.
Yeah, like dark gray, right?
Yeah, dark
gray. Were you scared, or were you just, like, worried?
Not any choices.
No,
none of the above.
She says, "How dare you ask me such a question?"
Yeah, I'm not afraid of squat. Who came and put the fire out?
The firefighters.
Wasn't it incredible?
Yeah.
Wow, poor guy's car.
Yeah, he can't even drive anymore.
I know. What's he gonna do?
He's gonna get a new car.
Let's pray for him tonight.
Yeah. Thank you for that live. Thank you. Recount.
Give it up for Bills.
And last night, night, I ate strawberry pancakes.
Ooh, those are fire as well. Fire.
I love
Can you pay my bills? Can you pay my telephone bills? That's your exit music.
I love a four-year-old's news report. We should have the Billy's new
segment.
Yeah, a new segment, Billy's news report. Well, this has been a super fun episode. That is our jury two tea, our silver spoon, our tea bag of the week, and our reality segments. We don't really have one for celebrity. I mean, I guess it could go hand in hand with Dancing with the Stars. Do you have some?
No. These segments are going to get more more foundationalized. Mm-hmm. I don't know the word I'm trying to say.
No, you're right. More solid, solidified.
Yeah, we are segueing into video content. I'm so excited because part of the lore and love of us is our facial expressions, and y'all are missing out.
You're missing out on them.
We are coming with that in the new year, so that will be fun. I'm so excited. We're going to have this little studio.
Yeah. I'm pumped.
And we are going to be coming with, we've been already doing this since the beginning. We started our whole podcast with the story of String Bean being murdered. We just kind of love these weird, outlandish stories, and we're going to come with more of that kind of content because we just eat it up. And I like hearing the ins and outs of weirdos because I align.
And there's just so many of them. But if you have a local weirdo story, please send it in. We're going to talk about it. We're excited to explore this new level of oddity. And we're excited. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you next time.
Peace out, Girl Scouts.
Thank y'all for listening to Spillin' the Tea.
Whitney Merritt and Liz Ent are co-hosts and co-producers.
The show is edited by Jeff Ent. Our theme song is sung by Whitney Merritt.
You can follow us on Instagram at @spillinthetea_podcast, Facebook at @spillinthetea, and TikTok at @spillinthetea_nash for all updates and additional podcast materials.
We want to hear from you, so be sure to send your comments, leave reviews, give us your ratings, and share us with a friend.
And most importantly, y'all come back now, you hear?